supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. On today's show, we're going to be talking about deadlines and motivation with an expert who studies the science behind these things. But first, we want to share this kind of mood setter for the show, courtesy of our production assistant, Emily Haas.
How do you respond when a deadline is coming your way? Do you feel anxious, nervous, stressed?
A little bit anxious. I'm a big believer, make list and kind of commit it to paper and, you know, keep checking that list until it's done.
Actually, having a deadline makes me, like, the good stress comes up and I respond to it, like, right away. It gives you a cutoff. You know, you're not left in your own, you know, at your own volition to just try and get through it. You know you have to meet it, and it just, I don't know, it just gears me up.
Every action begins with a thought. Feeling overwhelmed is a thought. So if you just get organized and just pick a starting point, you won't feel overwhelmed and you can meet the deadline.
So all of this reminds me of a recurring dream I have that it's Monday and it's right before noon and I have no idea what we're going to do on the show and I'm completely unprepared as I'm led into the studio and the on-air light goes on. And of course I wake up in a panic. Well, it turns out we all have this kind of dream. It's called the anxiety dream. It can be about not having been prepared for an exam in school or a paper you have due. We all have them. So my guest is going to help us understand these dreams and how we manage deadlines or how we mismanage deadlines. My guest is Heidi Grant Halverson. She knows all about what we're talking about because she's an associate director of Columbia Business School's Motivation Science Center. She researches, writes, and speaks about the science of motivation. Her latest book is called 8 Motivational Changes, A Short Guide to Lighting a Fire Under Anyone, Including Yourself. And Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's great to be here. By the way, I still actually have the I'm about to take a test and haven't studied for it dream. That still happens.
Damn.
And it's been a long time since I've had to take one, so.
Damn, I was hoping you would cure me. I hate that dream.
No, unfortunately, you know, I think there is something about, you know, there's a reason why our brains and our dreams go right to that idea of having this impending deadline and you're not prepared or it comes up on you suddenly, because it's something we're all dealing with all the time. I mean, it is a real source of stress and anxiety in just about everybody's life.
Well, I want to talk about the timing for the show in a minute. Let me give out the phone numbers first, because I have a feeling our listeners will want to weigh in on this. It's 1-888-477-9499. What motivates you, and how do you handle deadlines? 1-888-477-9499. Heidi, it turns out this is our fall fundraiser here at WHYY, and we get an awful lot of pledges towards the end. And you're not surprised, huh?
No. Exactly. When the deadline is approaching, that's usually. And also, I think people tend to want to pledge more when they feel like, you know, that they're going to help you cross the finish line. That's a very satisfying time to pledge. So no, it's not surprising at all. But this is, I'm so glad that you want to talk about this because I think there isn't really anybody out there who doesn't struggle to some extent with dealing with deadlines and, you know, who doesn't feel like they want to deal with them in a better, more productive and less anxiety-provoking
way. Well, it's not just individuals who mismanage deadlines. You know, the timing is perfect, not just in terms of our fundraiser, but You know, look at what happened in Congress. I mean, they bring us to the brink of death, and then it gets resolved. And look at what's happened with the Affordable Care Act. Well, they made their deadline, or did they? You know, they made the October 1st deadline, and it's been a debacle after that.
Well,
so,
you know,
what the hell is going on here with
you? Well, I wrote a piece about it's a subject that comes up a lot. I talk about a lot of different, and I do research on a lot of different aspects of motivation. But this idea of deadlines and what we do and why we don't manage our time more effectively and what happens when we push them back. I ended up writing something. I blog a lot, and I blog for Harvard Business Review, and I wrote something that ended up being a very popular piece because I think it resonates with a lot of people. And it was actually back in June or July when the Obama administration announced that it was going to push back by a year one of the deadlines in the Affordable Care Act, and it was to push back. I think it was the one that had to do with companies of a particular size having to provide insurance. And they said we're just not ready, and we want to do it right, and so we're going to push it back a year. And the first thing that occurred to me was, it jumped into my head, was, you know, there's really no way people are going to use that year effectively. I mean, it might have been the right call. I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't know enough about it to say whether or not they needed that extra year or not. But there's something very reliable that happens when we push back deadlines, and that is that we immediately, you feel that immediate sort of sweet sense of relief. I have more time. And then we don't necessarily, though, use that time effectively. We take a deep breath and we say, okay, now I have all the time in the world. And then we start, you know, working in a frenzy again as we're getting closer and closer to the deadline. It turns out there's really, that has a lot to do with how our brains are wired. In when we're motivated to do anything, it's really the difference between where we are now and where we want to be that our brains are paying attention to, that discrepancy, right, between now. And when we have a lot of time between between now and when we need to get there, we don't feel that sense of urgency. We don't actually, we literally aren't as motivated. People even see this with rats. We call it the goal looms larger effect, this idea that the closer you are to the goal, the more motivated you are to reach it. So whenever you push a deadline back or you are far away from a deadline, you just simply aren't as motivated.
Mm-hmm. So I get that, but, you know, you use the word we, and I mean, I would think there's got to be a continuum. I got to tell you, I read your article in the Harvard Business Review a couple of times, and I got so PO'd. I said I'm not going to be one of them. And just to spite you, Heidi, I got this show done, prepared, and already 4 days ahead of when I usually do.
Well, good for you. So you upped your motivation. There are ways to. It's not an insurmountable problem, but I think the first step is recognizing. And yes, I'm sure that it's true that there is a continuum, that some people are more likely to procrastinate than others. We know that's true. But I think it's important to realize that to some extent, it's true for everybody that the closer we get to the goal, the more motivated we feel. We feel that sense of urgency, and that pushes us a little bit harder. And so what we then need to really figure out how to do is get motivated or even just sort of trick ourselves, essentially, or plan accordingly so that we're not waiting until the last minute. Because one of the things that drives me crazy, it absolutely drives me nuts, is every time I hear someone say, and I think somebody kind of said it in the piece that you played earlier, with this idea of, I work best under pressure. The thing about me is I really work well when the deadline is. And nobody actually does that. I mean, it sort of doesn't make any sense. Nobody works best. It's just they work.
Well,
that's what you see in Congress.
I've got a question about that. You know, one of the people said, use the phrase good stress. And I want to tell you, you know, I commented about the show and so on and so forth. But there have been several times when before the show, I'm just feeling disorganized and mm-hmm. unprepared, even though I might be, but it's just how I'm feeling. And boy, when that light goes on, the adrenaline kicks in, and I am clear as a bell. So, you know, I wonder if good stress is kind of the euphoria of adrenaline.
Oh, you know, I think that is certainly true. The closer we get, and again, that's consistent with sort of this idea that the closer you are to something, the more everything is sort of, everything about you mentally is getting engaged. I think that is true. What I don't think is true is that there's any benefit to waiting until the last minute to get started. You know, that you can still reap all the benefits of that extra arousal and engagement that you're going to feel when it's right on top of you, regardless of when you get started. But the more time, you know, the earlier you start on things, usually the better off you are.
Yeah.
And so then the challenge becomes how do we get ourselves
to I want to get to your how to's. First, I want to reintroduce you. We're talking with Heidi Grant Halverson about deadlines. She's an associate director of the Columbia Business School's Motivation Science Center. Give us a call. We're at 888-477-9499. Are you one of those who plan in advance and take small steps towards a deadline, or do you want rush right up to the deadline? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. Heidi, we've got a caller on the line who might be very appropriate for the moment. Hey, Barb.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Hi.
I am absolutely deadline-oriented. I'm a former newspaper reporter, daily newspaper, and former radio reporter there at WHYY, so it was constant deadlines. If I don't have a deadline, it doesn't get done. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you my latest example. I did a book, and you know this, Dan, mm-hmm. with my dad about his stories about life on the farm and all these wonderful stories, and I did it for his 80th birthday, which was 5 years ago. It got done because I had a deadline. Between now and then, I had procrastinated and am now on deadline to produce the video that accompanies the book. And it's interesting because I'm taking the class at the WHYY, the Hamilton Commons, and Wednesday night is our last night with the staff. And so I've been frantically, my dad's birthday isn't until the end of November, but I've been frantically trying to get this piece together because I need the support of your staff and your equipment there. And I was in on Friday to do some editing. I actually spent the whole day there on Friday. I'm nearly complete. The instructor said to me, do you want to come back on Monday? And I said, I'm going to have to see. I don't know if I can do 2 days out of the office in a row. Let me see what the weekend brings. And he said, well, it's okay if you don't. And you can even come back after the class is finished. And I looked at him and I said,
uh-oh.
I did not hear you say that.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So I've got a question to ask. You told us the way you operate. Do you mm-hmm. like it? Do you like to operate that way?
I do.
Ah.
I work best under deadline, and I have found, because I'm starting to do this work with other people and their families, the first question I will ask somebody is, does mom or dad have a specific 70th, 80th birthday, or 50th anniversary, or something that motivates them to do the work? It seems like if there's nothing on the horizon, if it's like a, you know, 83rd birthday or something, people will put it off. But when there's that big party or event or bar mitzvah or whatever it is, it seems like that's the trigger for other people, I'm finding as well.
Well, that's kind of what Heidi's research is mm-hmm. finding. Heidi,
absolutely.
So let me hear you react to Barb.
Well, I think that Barb is right on. Knowing yourself well is like half the game, and when it comes to reaching goals in general, knowing what you need in order to stay motivated and to keep yourself focused. You know, the big problem that we all have is that we all have so many things we're trying to do at once. So to keep any one goal you know, to keep motivated towards finishing the video for your father when you have so many other things you're juggling is just genuinely difficult. And deadlines help us to then force us to prioritize, force us to feel that this is urgent. And so I love the idea of you saying, you know, no, don't tell me that I don't have this deadline because I need it. You know, that we really, one of the things that I to suggest to people is to sort of kind of make a little bit, deadlines aren't evil, they aren't horrible, and they don't have to cause you pain. They can be wonderful tools. And what we often need to do is something that's sort of like what Barb was talking about, where we need to take these deadlines and break them up a bit to give ourselves deadlines, so that we're not waiting to the last minute. So often we'll get a long-term project, and it's in those situations where the project isn't due for a month or 6 months or a year that we tend to not use that time well because the deadline is too far away. But a great solution is to break things up into sub-deadlines and really mean it. You know, really, that's really actually part of it, what's so important. But you have to really mean, when you say, okay, I'm going to have this part of it finished in a month, or I'm going to have this part of it finished in a week, and to take those deadlines very seriously, then what you end up with is actually working really in a motivated and effective way, and not, you know, you get to use the deadline to your advantage to help you stay motivated without it end up being super stressful and crushing you at the end when you're scrambling to get everything done.
Well, Heidi, I just want to say all of this sounds great, but we're gonna take a short break for
okay.
our fundraiser, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about the how-tos.
Sure.
You know, what this all means, because what you're talking about is actually trying to trick our own brains.
That's right.
which we know can be done. I also want to talk to you about that anxiety dream. We had a caller earlier on who has a similar anxiety dream and,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it's about. And I still haven't given up hope that you can cure me. Well, we are, as I said a couple of times to my dear friends in the radio audience, it's time for our fall fundraiser, and we are looking for you to help us out. Are you motivated to support this show and the station in general? You know, these days more than ever, it's time to get reflective information rather than reactive. You just don't get it anywhere else on radio, and I dare say TV, anywhere. You don't get reflective information, and this show in this station is a place to get it, something very thoughtful. We've got Tanya English and my dear friend and producer Jennifer Lynn over there in Pledge Central. Are the phones ringing? And you've got a whole other phone number for us, don't you?
Yes, we do. We do. We're giving out lots of numbers today. So if you're calling for Pledge, hello, by the way, in Pledge Central. Woo!
Hey, everybody.
I'm Jennifer Lynn. WHRI's Jennifer Lynn here with Tanya English from our Health and Science Desk. It's our fall fun drive, fall membership drive, time to renew, time to start up something new. Dan is talking about deadlines and motivation, and we certainly hope you're motivated today to give us a call at this number, 1-888-345-9499. I do have that anxiety dream where we're in Pledge Central and the phones aren't ringing. Please don't make that a reality. Give us a call, 1-888-345-9499. I know you love Dan's show. It's a valuable show to you in a number of ways. It sings to your heart. It speaks to your mind. You breathe it every Monday at noon. And, you know, it takes money to put on a show, and that's why we're here to ask for you to help and support us.
Jennifer, you know, this is such a great topic. Motivation and deadlines. Deadlines, deadlines, deadlines. We're going to set one for you. Call now. This is when we want you to call. The number is 1-888-345-9499. Dr. Dan's guest said, know yourself. If you know that you put off things and you don't always get back around to them, now's the time to call. We're getting a few calls coming in. But set a deadline for yourself. And if you do that, we have an incentive for you.
Yes,
we have some
nice
thank
one.
You gifts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dan wrote a book called The Wisdom of Sam about his son, his grandson, Observations on a Life from an Uncommon Child. Call us for just a little bit over $8 a month. We will send that to you as a thank you gift for your pledge. The number is 1-888-345-9499. Give us a call now. Now's your deadline.
Yeah, Tanya, talk about motivation. I am looking around and there are three tables full of women who are part of the Porch Club of Riverton, New Jersey. They've come in. This is a women's organization. They do a lot of charitable events for young people and families. And I give them a hand. I applaud them.
For sure.
Why did you come in? Because you love WHYY. Because you know this is an important time.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, get a little squeamish about pledge time. You know, it's like we have to do different things. We would rather be doing our jobs,
no
right?
Reason to no? be squeamish. We've got some great women ready and waiting to answer the phone. These are women who have been socially engaged, a program and a group that's been around since the 1890s.
Yeah.
They know about deep conversation. We at WHYY know about deep conversation. They're socially engaged and ready to pick up the phone and talk to you. Give them a call, 888-345-9499.
But you, the listener, I mean, you want to move this along just like we do. Pledge Week is a difficult week for all of us, and you want to hear our regular programming just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call, 1-888-345-9499, or you can do the whole web thing and go online at whyy.org. Now, we do a lot of topics on Voices in the Family,
okay.
And I know that, you know, one week you might be like, oh, that's kind of interesting, and another week you're like, oh, my gosh, that is exactly what I am going through. You know, for instance, we're going to do a re-air of a show this week on bad neighbors.
Mm-mm.
Now, who hasn't maybe had a bad neighbor in your life? I mean, we really do the whole gamut. We've talked about mindfulness quite a bit. I'm sure, you know, you're into that. Maybe you're not into that. Maybe you learn something new when we're doing a different topic. We give you variety. We work very hard to sort of spread things out and speak to different people for this show. And I know you appreciate that. And, you know, people are sharing about Voices in the Family all the time to me about, oh, I had to stop in my driveway and hear that one, for, you know, from noon to one. And thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a great value. You know, we helped you learn a little something different about life, maybe how you operate, how you think. 1-888-345-9499. Thank you for that ping.
Evan from Cherry Hill wrote into us, and he says he can't live without us. You know what? And I kind of feel that same way. Claudia from Berwyn wrote us, and she said, public radio is my friend, my teacher, my daily companion. I feel that, too.
Aww.
Call us at 1-888-345-9499 if you have that same experience.
Yeah, and, you know, these ladies, I'm telling you, they're hanging out. They've got lunch from 12th Street Catering. And they're from the Porch Club of Riverton, New Jersey, and they're not too busy. I don't want to do the whole guilt thing. I don't really like that on the radio when I hear it myself, but come on, you know who you are. You haven't given for a bit. It's time to renew. 1-888-345-9499. You can do it. Tanya knows you can do it.
Do it.
Motivation, that's our topic today on Voices in the Family. Thank you so much for listening and for your support.
Does your son or daughter come home drunk or high? Would you like to learn new ways of dealing with their drug or alcohol use? The Family Training Program works with parents of children aged 12 to 25 to help them take control of their child's drug or alcohol problem. Held in Philadelphia by the Treatment Research Institute, a supporter of WHYY. More on the Family Training Program at 877-I-WORRY-2. That's 877-I-WORRY and the number 2, or online at iamconcerned.org.
The Philadelphia Foundation supports WHYY. The foundation can help those over age 70 transfer monies from individual retirement accounts to a fund designated to support your favorite nonprofit. Your financial advisor can provide information on how a charitable IRA rollover can be part of your estate planning and generate savings on income tax today and estate tax in the future. The Philadelphia Foundation, 215-563-6417 or philafound.org.
I like pressure, so I guess deadlines are best for me. If I sit around and wait to get something done, it won't get done until like I feel that absolute need to get it done and over with.
We are talking about deadlines today, deadlines and motivation, what motivates us, with social psychologist Heidi Grant Halverson. She's Associate Director of the Columbia Business School's Motivation Science Center. Her latest book is called Eight Motivational Challenges, a short guide to lighting a fire under anyone, including yourself. Look, those of us, Heidi, who need a fire under there.
We all do, I think.
I know, but I mean, the word for that is called procrastination.
So right.
What is that? And if we all have it to a certain extent, mm-hmm. like there's got to be an evolutionary function, yes or no?
Well, I think it's a product of it's a byproduct of something that is actually makes a lot of sense and is very natural, and that is that we are always kind of weighing options mentally, whether we're aware of it or not. And so at any point in time, you could work on that project that's going to be due in another month, or you could work on something that's related to another goal, or you could do something fun or relaxing. So we always have lots of options. And on a largely unconscious level, we're kind of going through those options all the time mentally. What do I feel like doing now?
Or you could answer your email that you haven't checked in the last 7 seconds.
Right, exactly. Right. So there's lots of choices and lots of options. And I think that the reality is that often the things we procrastinate about for relatively understandable reasons, because they're difficult. They'll require a lot of effort and you know, often things that we want to do that are very, very rewarding aren't necessarily fun or easy or pleasant. So we procrastinate, I think, for everybody does it to some extent. And I don't think it's adaptive, but it's understandable.
Hmm.
So then the trick becomes, okay, well, how do I keep from procrastinating about things that are really important? I think that people, when we procrastinate, there are really these two major problems. One is that we don't seem to have enough motivation, and that's something that, again, making shorter deadlines for ourselves can help with. And then the other thing is that we tend to also, and this is another widespread problem, there's even a name for it, it's called the planning fallacy, that we all kind of tend to have a tendency to underestimate how long something will take. Even when we've done it before. I mean, even when we really should. You know, I've been a college professor for a long time, and it's still amazing to me that seniors in college still don't seem to know how long it's going to take them to write a 10-page paper, even though they've had to write 100
of
them by now.
Let me stop you right mm-hmm. there, because we've got Chase on the line waiting
sure.
to join our conversation, and I think that's right on point. Chase?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
So what can
Hi.
We do?
Sorry.
Go on.
Yeah, so I'm a college student taking time off of school because, like a lot of kids, I guess, in high school, I was diagnosed with ADD and prescribed Adderall. And, you know, it did wonders for me, my ability to concentrate and meet deadlines and things like that. And then fast forward, though, to sophomore year of college, and I was feeling like this thing was, you know, controlling my mood and my life, so I ended up requesting to be taken off of it. But what ended up happening was I found I could no longer meet deadlines, I could no longer concentrate. And so I ended up having to take time off school. And I'm just asking, you know, if this is a common problem that you're seeing now that, you know, a lot of kids these days are being diagnosed with ADD, and, you know, if later in life they decide to get off the medication, if you know, they also have trouble concentrating, and sometimes I feel like I'll never be able to build those skills. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, that's a great. Thank you so much, Chase. I think that's a great question and a great point. And you know, I talked about Heidi being on a continuum. I think mm-hmm. more and more of us, myself included, are having more difficulty with distraction and attention at this point with all this digital stimulation. I mean, I've got the attention span of a chipmunk on steroids here.
Do you know, I'm so glad, Chase, and I want to thank Chase for this question, because it really is, I think, a problem that is increasing in general for people, and there's some really interesting research showing that there are techniques, one in particular that I'm thinking of right now, that are very, very helpful to children children and adults with ADHD and to people who in general feel that they have some problems with planning and executing and really doing the things they intend to do. You know, we often think that the problem with motivation is about not wanting something enough, not being committed enough. And actually, that turns out to not be the case. You know, more than half the time, we have plenty of commitment and we don't do what we set out to do anyway. And so the problem becomes one of execution, and that's something that people who have ADHD often have its difficulty with, because the key to executing a goal, right, to actually doing the things you need to do in order to reach your goal, is something called prospective memory. It's remembering to remember, right? So if I have to remember to remember in the future.
Go slow here, young lady.
It's a really tricky idea, but what, you know, if you think about it, you have to, let's say, study for an upcoming exam. So that means, okay, I know that I'm going to have this exam coming up in about a month, and what I have to do is remember to remember to study.
How do we
right?
do
so
that?
So that is tricky for people with ADHD. It's tricky for people who are distracted constantly because you forget. So you don't remember to study. You don't remember to stay after class and ask for the help that you meant to ask for because you get distracted by something else. There's a great technique, and it's called if-then planning. And the idea, and it's got a fancier name that I won't share with you, because if-then planning is really actually a very succinct way to think about what it is. The idea is simply that you decide not only what you're going to do, but when and where you're going to do it in advance. And so you say, you don't say, okay, I have to remember that sometime this week I'm going to study. Instead, you say, okay, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to sit down at my desk and study. So it's like taking every action on your to-do list and pairing it with a where and a when. And studies show that just simply doing that, taking that extra step to not just list what you have to do, but figure out also and decide when and where you're going to do it, makes people about, on average, 3 times more likely to reach their goals.
I want to add something in there from personal experience, Heidi. Mm-hmm. We talked earlier about knowing thyself.
Right.
And my experience is I know my brain fatigues fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So if I want to sit down and do something, I never, ever give myself more than an hour and often a half hour. And then my brain fatigues, and then I'll do something else for 15 minutes.
I think that's so wise. And one of the things that's really great about doing this kind of if-then planning is that it capitalizes on exactly that kind of knowledge. So you can say, okay, I know myself. I know that I'm too tired at the end of the day to go to the gym after work. So I'm going to make a plan that says, okay, if it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 a.m., I'm going to go to the gym before work. Right, so even just thinking about making the plan requires you to draw on that kind of knowledge about yourself in order to make the plan. And so you end up not making a lot of mistakes that we make when we just kind of go through life spontaneously, which is what a lot of us do, you know, and say, okay, I'll do what I feel like doing, I'll fit it in sometime, at some point I'll do that. And when we think that way, we tend to not remember to do the things that we really meant to do.
So you're
So
you're taking somebody who's distracted and maybe a bit disorganized and turning them into a good obsessive.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Nice work.
Exactly. A person who plans, in a way, what you're doing is really, all jokes aside, you're using more of what your brain is actually really skilled at doing, mm-hmm. which is forming these sort of if-then contingencies. So what happens is, you know, instead of saying to yourself, I'll exercise sometime today, and then you don't do it, you know, instead you say, okay, well, I'm going to exercise at 3 o'clock, and then there's a part of your brain that's literally waiting for 3 o'clock to happen. And when 3 o'clock happens, it goes, ding, 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 we're supposed to exercise. And so even if you're, what the data shows is that even if you're distracted, even if you're in the middle of doing something else, you'll remember. The odds of you remembering are dramatically increased. And so suddenly you go, oh, wait, I was supposed to go to the gym. And you go to the gym because you've decided that that's when you're going to go. So what we need, I mean, it turns out when it comes to, one of the things I really want people to understand is that we to some extent all struggle with reaching deadlines, with procrastination, with not really doing the things we set out to do. But rather than pretend that's not true or say, okay, well, I'm just a procrastinator, and giving yourself that label, and so therefore assuming you can't do anything about it, there are actually lots of tricks and tools that you can use to keep yourself going, even when you kind of don't feel like it, or even when you're distracted by other things. I think setting little deadlines for yourself is one of these great techniques that we know from research works, and also something like if-then planning.
Well, I've got
very effective.
I've got to tell you, we've got a couple of callers on the line. We've got to take a short break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want you to walk some of my callers through their, quote, issues, or
okay,
I guess
sure.
all of our issues.
Right.
All right. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Today is our fall fundraiser, and we are looking, well, I guess we're not going to light a fire under you, but we're going to put our arm around you and ask you to support this show and to support WHYY. And I like to think that we try to put our arm around you every Monday from noon till 1 and every Sunday morning from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. So how about if you put your arm around us? And my dear friend and producer, Jennifer Lynn and Tanya English, are going to tell you exactly how to do that.
Thank you, Dan. What a lovely show. What a great topic. Timely topic. I wonder who planned that. Maybe I did. WHYY's Jennifer Lynn here with Tanya English, our senior science reporter on the Health and Science Desk. 1-888-345-9499. We're going to help you remember to love your favorite public radio station, perhaps one of your favorite programs here, mm-hmm. Voices in the Family, noon on Mondays, re-air 6 a.m. on Sundays. Talking about motivation and deadlines. And what can I say? 1-888-345-9499. Maybe you have set out this week to give your support to WHYY. Well, why not do it now?
Yeah, do it now. Dr. Dan talked about that embrace, that community. I feel that when I, you know, listen at 12 on Mondays. But his guest talked about procrastination and all sorts of reasons that other things get in the way of the things that we value. If you value smart conversation, if you value smart engagement, do that. You're here, you're with us, you're giving us your time. We're asking you to step up and maybe give some of your dollars, too. That's the next step in being part of the community. The number is 1-888-345-9499. There's lots of reasons that things get in the way, but we have a tool for you to take the next step, 888-345-9499.
Or go on the web, whyy.org. That's really handy these days. I mean, it's so easy to go on the web and do that. And our extended family of community today is the Porch Club of Riverton, New Jersey. They're answering your calls and doing a wonderful job. They're so charitable. We love them. And 12th Street Catering is doing the catering today. We have a goal today. I'm not sure where we are right now. We were going to do 20 calls this hour. That seems very small to me. I know Ed Cunningham was getting hundreds of calls this morning, so surely we can get 20 calls this afternoon. I'm going to do my pledging before the hour is out, because this indeed is one of my favorite shows. 1-888-345-9499. We need to hear from you.
Jennifer, we have 15 people who have called in and made their commitment and pledge of their time and their dollars. So we need five more. It needs to be you next to make that call. 1-888-345-9499. We have some thank you gifts. I hope you'll do it, because this is the kind of programming and radio that you enjoy, that you linger with. But we do have some thank you gifts. If you pledge about $10 a month, we'll have a great golf umbrella that will be part of our package.
Thing. It's hardy.
Yes. 1-888-345-9499. Call now.
Yeah, and the web pledges count, too, at whyy.org. We are counting that in our headcount of folks contacting us today. And thank you for all your support. I would like to hear some more phone calls. You are with us today, Voices in the Family, a very unique show. You know, I always say there is no divide between you, the listener, and what Dan presents each week on Voices in the Family. We always find some commonality in this hour with Dan.
You know how that works is a lot of times we have someone call in, they suggest a show idea. We're responsive here at WHYY. WHYY, and we'll hope that you will be too. We need you to do your part. We're here every Monday. Call in and be a part of the circle of programming and radio that happens. 1-888-345-9499.
Yeah, we really would like you to call 1-888-345-9499. I thank you for that. We're going to go back to the program in just a second. You know, we don't have much time. We have 15 more minutes in the show. Please do your job and help us out. Thanks.
Devereaux is a proud supporter of WHYY. For more than 100 years, Devereaux has provided care to individuals with developmental disabilities and mental and behavioral health disorders. Devereaux's work also includes its full continuum of autism-specific programming for individuals of all ages, including residential services, community-based group homes, employment training, and support and educational programs. For more information on Devereaux's autism-specific services, devereaux.org.
How do I approach deadline? Well, I try and think about it with as much logic and rationality as possible. Like, usually for me personally, I try and have things set down. I mean, yeah, for me it's just to try and get it down on paper and just to think what is the best kind of the logical outcome and the thing that, and that's kind of how I do it, and then just tick it off one by one.
We're back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We're talking about deadlines and motivation with Heidi Grant Halverson, Associate Director of the Columbia Business School's Motivation Science Center. And her latest book is called 8 Motivational Challenges, A Short Guide to Lighting a Fire Under Anyone, Including Yourself. Heidi, as promised, let's go to the phones. We've got several people who want to join the conversation. We'll start with Abby. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
So, what can we do for you?
Well, so I find myself just feeling incapable of doing things, getting started on projects prior to that 11th hour point. I seem to need that pressure that comes with being added, preferably an externally imposed deadline, in order to do things. And what I notice is that it doesn't work well. You know, I end up feeling very stressed. I'm late with things. And when I'm at that point, I usually think, next time I'm going to do this differently. But I seem to be caught in this cycle, and I don't really understand, you know, what's going on.
Well, Abby, it turns out we put together this show just for you. and we found the perfect guest for you. And Heidi, you talk about intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. It sounds like what Abby's talking about.
Right. I mean, and there are times when we get into a kind of a situation where it's only that extrinsic motivation that's motivating us, right? Extrinsic meaning coming from outside yourself. So like you said, Abby, a deadline that someone is imposing on you. You know, the problem is that when we end up working that way, we don't work at our best. We don't also tend to enjoy what we're doing or find it interesting. So to the extent that you can kind of make the whole process more what we call intrinsic, meaning it's kind of you're in charge of it, it's coming from inside you, there are lots of benefits, not just that you're going to work more effectively and feel less stress, but also that there's a much greater chance that you will be more creative in the work that you do, that you'll find it, you'll be more engaged, you'll find it more interesting, right. You'll find what's enjoyable about it. So we want to kind of shift that inside.
So you're talking about the carrot, but how do we do it?
Right. One of the things that Abby said that I want to point out, because I think a lot of people think this way, is this idea that you know, I'm bad at this, and so there's something wrong with me, and tomorrow I'm going to be good at it. And then, of course, when tomorrow you're not good at it, then you think, oh, see, I knew it, I'm bad at this. And we get trapped in this cycle of thinking where it's like, okay, tomorrow I'm not going to do this anymore. What I recommend and what the research suggests is a much sort of better way to think about this. Is that managing your time effectively is something that you want to get better at, not overnight change, because that's just not realistic or possible, but that you want to be making progress toward getting better. So yes, maybe the next project you work on, you're still scrambling at the end, but maybe you're scrambling a little bit less. So that's kind of the way to think about it, so that you can stay resilient and kind of not beat yourself up so much when you're still facing these challenges. Nobody stops procrastinating overnight. Now, what you need to do in terms of tools to use is, like I said, one is to get very serious about doing some advanced thinking. This is one of the things that we tend to not do when we're working on a project, is sort of spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes really thinking about what's coming up down the road and saying, okay, how can I break this up into smaller packages so it's not so overwhelming? So maybe just, you know, this week I'll just focus on this part of the project. Next week I'll focus on a second part. So how can I break it up for myself so I'm not dealing with so much at once, because that feels overwhelming. Also, having these shorter deadlines will then keep you more motivated over the long term. And again, going back to that if-then planning idea that I talked about earlier, okay, now that I know what part of the project I'm going to be finished with this week, what are the actions I need to take to finish the project, and when and where am I going to take them? I know it doesn't sound sexy and exotic. I mean, a lot of people, I would love to say just visualize yourself doing it and you will. And that would be awesome if that were true. But really the nuts and bolts of motivation and reaching goals is a lot of times this simple stuff, like taking some time to think about the goal you want to reach, and breaking it up into sub-goals, and breaking it up into actions you need to take, and when and where you're going to take them. And as boring as that sounds, it's incredibly effective. And our research shows it's basically the key to overcoming any motivational problem.
So I got a question underlying this. There's a phrase in one of the steps in the 12-step program. I believe it's the 8th step. But the phrase starts with the two words, became willing. We became willing. And, and that's got to be the beginning of any motivation, of any change, to be serious behind it.
Yes.
So
it's what philosophers, you know, when it comes to really wanting to do something, you know, it's very necessary. It's necessary, but not sufficient. It is the first key step. I think what I see people having even more of a problem with is that this idea of okay, now that I know this, right? So then I have this expect. Now that I know how to deal with my procrastination problem, now that I've read this book on how to help myself with X, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm never going to have that problem again. And one of the things we know about human brains in general and human beings in general is that while change is entirely possible, it tends to be slow, because we have to unlearn old habits and replace them with new ones. And one of the things I really want to emphasize to anyone who's listening is that you can absolutely get better when it comes to deadlines, when it comes to reaching your goals, when it comes to being more efficient and effective and less stressed. You can get better at all of these things, but be patient, because change takes time. And having new good habits replace the bad habits takes time. So just be kind to yourself during that process.
The image I have is rewiring the brain. It's like learning a musical instrument. I mean, it's
absolutely,
at first it's clumsy and you suck at it and it feels terrible at first.
That's exactly right.
And then you get better. Listen, Heidi, in my practice I often hear parents complain, actually my parents complained, that their child is not motivated. Is there really such a thing as not being motivated?
Well, I think there are children who are very motivated by the environment of school, and there are children who are not particularly motivated by the environment of school. I mean, we have to remember that schools are designed in a particular way. Instruction is given in a particular way, and the rewards are given for particular kinds of behavior that we all think are, you know, good things that children should do. There are a lot of kids that are really, that particular environment isn't necessarily going to light their fire, and it may be that they get very motivated by something else, and we don't, you know, you have to kind of allow them to figure out what that is, and as much as you can, give them opportunities to explore other, you know, there are kids who just really are just tigers in the classroom, and they're really driven, and yeah, there are kids who are not. And maybe that it's just a matter of finding what the thing is that really lights their fire. I mean, of course, you can do things to mess up a child's motivation. You can do things to dampen it. But sometimes, even without anything dampening it, it's just not how that child
kicks. So our task as parents is to get to know how our child thinks and operates before we start haranguing them to behave differently.
Giving them opportunities to figure it out for themselves, too.
We've only got a minute or so left, but I want to bring up, I know as a colleague and a friend of yours, our local Angela Duckworth and her work about researching grit. So tell us about grit and how that fits into your work.
Well, Angie is her focus, and she just won a MacArthur Genius Fellowship, which is amazing. Her focus is like mine in motivation. She's interested in particular in the self-control, the idea of willpower, self-control, and this idea of grit being really keys for reaching particularly long-term goals, the kinds of goals that we really need to work at over months and years. And grit is this idea of, it's kind of like what you think it is, right? It's both passion for long-term goals, so you're willing to set long-term goals for yourself, and perseverance in the face of difficulty. And what she's found in her research is that people who score high and children who score high in grit, which you can always get more of. People aren't born gritty. They become gritty. But when you're gritty, that is a better predictor of your course grades than your IQ.
Yeah, which is gritty, which I love. I loved hearing that. And I even love the word grit, because it implies, you know, getting dirty and getting up and keeping moving. Unfortunately, Heidi, we are out of time, and this has been great, and I want to thank you so much for talking with us about motivation and deadlines. This was social psychologist Heidi Grant Halverson. Thanks, Heidi. And I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in and making your pledge of support. We still have a couple minutes left, and I would still love to hear from you. Join us. Become part of the family. We love when those phones ring, and you know, it gives us motivation to continue the work and make it better and better. My friends Tanya English and Jennifer Lynn are over there in Pledge Central.
We're going to take it away. Thank you, Dan. Thanks for your hard work on the show today on Voices in the Family. This is our WHYY Fall Pledge Drive, 1-888-345-9499. We just have a few minutes left to show your support for Voices in the Family, and you can go on the web at whyy.org.
The number is 1-888-345-9499. I just want to take one more minute to say thank you to the people who are answering the phone. The women from the Porch Club in Riverton, New Jersey. They've been around, their group's been around since the 1890s. That's grit. That's continuity. Dr. Dan's been around almost 30 years with us. If that you value that kind of commitment, if you want to be part of that community, call now, 1-888-345-9499.
Now, there are big things that are on our dockets that we avoid because they're going to take a lot of our energy. This doesn't take very much energy, folks. We know that. A simple phone call, a simple web ping, whyy.org for the web pledge, and 1-888-345-9499. We have met our goal this hour. But guess what? We want more.
And every call is a vote of confidence for this show, for Voices in the Family. If this is the time when you really connect with us, call now, be a caller at 1-888-345-9499. Push through the inertia, set a goal, do it now. This is the 11th hour if you